Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas. Loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey there, and welcome to Tech Stuff. I'm your host, Jonathan Strickland. I'm an executive producer at How Stuff Works, and I love all things tech. And today, we're going to conclude our series on eBay and bring it up to date. We're up to 2007 in the saga of eBay, but we're going to really, toward 2015 or so, we're really going to be jumping ahead quite a bit. But this would be Meg Whitman's last year as president and CEO of eBay in 2007. That same year, eBay purchased StubHub. StubHub is an online ticket exchange company and provides a marketplace for buyers and sellers of tickets for various live events. The company started back in 2000 when two Stanford Business School graduates named Eric Baker and Jeff Fleur saw an opportunity. And by 2005, StubHub was generating $200 million in sales. Now, not everything was going smoothly for StubHub in that time. Some people had used the service to sell counterfeit tickets. Others found that they were being penalized by major sports teams for getting a season ticket. They would go out and buy a season ticket to a sports team. Then they would sell their regular season seats on StubHub per game. So let's say I get a season ticket to the Braves, for example. And then on individual games, I'm selling my seats to anyone who goes through on StubHub. And I make a profit because individually selling those seats over and over again, I make more money than it cost for me to get the season tickets. Well, the New York Yankees suspended dozens of season ticket holders' rights to attend playoff games after finding out they had been selling regular season seats and denied them the opportunity to renew their season tickets. So once people caught on to that, they said, well, you know, we're going to the playoffs, but you don't get to see it because you've been selling your seats to other people and that's against our rules. We can make tons of money selling seats, but you sure as heck can't. Yeah. Anyway, I have different feelings about this, largely because it's very hard to go see a live theater show, particularly at a notable venue like on Broadway, without paying crazy amounts of money for a ticket, because you have people buying up seats and then reselling them at a markup price. And it's pretty infuriating. At the same time, seeing people get punished for doing this, it's interesting. Like it opens up a gray area. Like, where is it legal versus illegal? Anyway, I guess for season tickets, there's specific wording involved when you purchase those season passes. And that's what tells you that you're not supposed to do this sort of thing. StubHub and the New England Patriots got into legal battles over the rights to resell tickets, issues with voided tickets, claims of unfair trade practices, and more. And ultimately, the courts decided against StubHub. That wouldn't happen until 2009, though. So that would be after eBay had already purchased them. eBay bought StubHub for $310 million, a princely sum. In 2008, we'd get another new president for PayPal with Scott Thompson. Jeff Jordan had been president from 2004 to 2006, and Rajiv Dutta from 2006 to 2008. Now remember, PayPal was now part of eBay. Jordan had gone on to lead OpenTable, and Dutta would move into an executive vice president position with the parent company of eBay. Thompson would serve as president of PayPal until 2012, when he would leave to become the CEO of a different company, one that has struggled famously over the last few years, Yahoo. In March 2008, Meg Whitman stepped down as president and CEO of eBay, and John Donahoe assumed that role. And when Whitman joined eBay, it was a company of about 30 employees. By the time she left, eBay had grown into a global corporation with more than 15,000 employees, valued at $40 billion. The company's growth had slowed quite a bit, but to be fair, it had such an explosive growth period when it was expanding into new markets, it would have been unrealistic to expect that pace to continue at that particular rate. Whitman had led eBay into many new business ventures, and she had opened operations throughout the world. One of her regrets, however, was her failure to establish eBay as an effective presence in Japan early on. According to Whitman, her opportunity to get into Japan coincided with the site's blackout crashes in 1999 that I talked about in an earlier episode. The company had to switch focus to fixing its infrastructure and improving reliability, and lost the chance to get its foothold in Japan at that time. The company had established a Japanese site, but without proper support, the outlet didn't do very well, and ultimately Whitman chose to close up shop in Japan. It wouldn't be until 2009 when eBay would create some partnerships with local companies in Japan, then manage to get back into that market, and it wasn't until February 2018 before eBay announced it would acquire a company called Giosis, G-I-O-S-I-S, that conducted e-commerce in Japan, that it would really get to try again. With Japan identified as the third fastest growing e-commerce region in the world, it marked a pretty late start for eBay to get into that region. Whitman had a bit of a mixed reputation among eBay users, the actual buyers and sellers on the site. For one thing, there was no denying the company had grown significantly under her leadership, but she also had made choices that at times upset the community. For example, at one point she gave Disney its own auctions page, which many saw as preferential treatment that put normal sellers at a disadvantage. They didn't get the platform that Disney had. And of course, Disney's a multi-billion dollar corporation, so it felt like they were being shoved aside. And plus, Whitman had actually worked for Disney in the past before she came to eBay, so there was that element as well. However, Whitman actually paid attention to reactions, and she backed off of her decision. She reversed it. So it's not like she was saying it's my way or the highway. She actually did listen to the community, and she paid attention. After her departure, Meg Whitman ran for governor of California in the 2010 gubernatorial race. She ran as a Republican and largely funded her own campaign out of her own money. Ultimately, she would lose to Jerry Brown, the Democrat candidate for governor, and Whitman would go on to support Mitt Romney during his bids for presidency. In the 2016 election, however, she famously supported Hillary Clinton rather than the Republican candidate Donald Trump. Starting in September 2011, Whitman served as the CEO of Hewlett-Packard. She did not get rave reviews, and Hewlett-Packard didn't do so well in the following years, and Whitman shouldered a lot of that blame, perhaps unfairly. She would step down as CEO of Hewlett-Packard Enterprises on February 1st, 2018. John Donahoe was now the man in charge, so here's just a little bit more about him. He was born in Evanston, Illinois. He worked at a beer distribution company out of high school before he became an associate consultant with a company called Bain & Company. He started there in 1982 and worked his way up the chain, eventually becoming the CEO of the entire company in 1999. From there, he joined eBay as the president of eBay Marketplaces. During his tenure as the president and CEO of all of eBay, which lasted nearly 7.5 years, he more than doubled the revenues of the company to $18 billion, and he saw eBay's market value hit $80 billion. He would step down as president in 2015, but he joined the board of directors for PayPal as the chairman at that time. Now, it's easy to forget this, but back in 2008, the App Store for the iPhone was brand new. It was a new thing. It did not launch with the first iPhone. It was only available starting with the second generation iPhone, also known as the iPhone 3G. eBay was one of just a handful of companies that had an application ready at launch. And in fact, it got featured a bit during Apple's unveiling. Also in 2008, eBay made more acquisitions, including a company called Bill Me Later, an e-commerce company. They made that acquisition for nearly $1 billion. Bill Me Later is a credit company, as the name would suggest. You get billed later on. And the way it works is that if you choose Bill Me Later as an option when you're checking out, the service asks you for your birth date and the last 4 digits of your social security number, and then it runs a quick credit check on you. And assuming the credit check is favorable, you are credited the money for the purchase, and then you pay back the service with interest, of course. That's how it makes money. However, eBay also, at this time, laid off about 10% of its workforce, which equaled around 1,600 employees. The company focused most of the layoffs on the marketplace division, as that was the department that had slowed in growth the most to single-digit rates. It was still growing, but at a very slow pace. eBay would hold another big round of layoffs in 2015, firing about 2,400 employees on that go-round, which represented about 7% of its workforce at the time. So you see how big the company grew in the meantime. I mean, if 10% is 1,600 back at this point, and then in 2015, 2,400 is only 7%, I mean, that shows you the company did grow even after this round of layoffs. Regarding the 2008 layoffs, Donahoe said it was necessary to, quote, improve our operations and strengthen our ability to continue investing in growth, end quote. So in other words, he wanted to make sure that the company was focusing on the areas that were developing the fastest and to stop pouring resources into areas that had really plateaued. One last thing about 2008. In November of 2008, a seller named Jack Sheng became the first seller on eBay to get a feedback score of 1 million. You remember that Pierre Omidyar had created this feedback ability where you could give someone a positive or negative 1 in feedback. So Jack Sheng had received at least 1 million plus 1 votes. Maybe more than that, because if some people had given negative feedback, then that would have taken away from the total. So once he hit 1 million, eBay honored him by naming a conference room after him over at eBay headquarters. Now, I've got a lot more to say about eBay, but before I get into it, let's take a quick break to thank our sponsor.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
eBay launched a program in 2009 inside the company called the Women's Initiative Network, or WIN, which provides opportunities and career development training for women interested in building a career in any department within the company, which I think is pretty cool. And in fact, one thing I have to say about eBay is whether or not you like the site or the service, whether or not you've ever done an auction there or shopped there, the company itself has a reputation for promoting fairness in its corporation among its employees. So everything from giving special opportunities for people to pursue training, career development, making certain that people are not being treated unfairly due to ethnicity or gender or sexuality or any of those things. It's really interesting and really admirable. So whether or not you like the company, at least the policies that the company has put in place, I think, have been really progressive. And I like that a lot. 2009 was also the year eBay sold the majority of Skype to a group of private investors. I mentioned this in the previous episode and how initially it looked like eBay was going to take a huge loss on the purchase and failed integration of Skype. However, Microsoft's bid a little bit later to buy up Skype for more than $8 billion would end up offsetting that expense. They ended up making enough money on the amount of Skype they retained, because they only sold a majority of their stake in 2009. They kept about 35%, and when Microsoft bought up all of it later for $8 billion, they sold it off, and it turned out that the difference more than paid off for their initial purchase of Skype, even after you factor in things like the debt that needed to be paid off and taxes and things like that. In 2010, eBay got hit with a patent infringement lawsuit from a company called XPRT Ventures LLC. This story led me down a real rabbit hole in research because I saw plenty of news reports from 2010 about the lawsuit being filed, but nothing really substantial about how it all shook out. And as it turns out, the reason for that part is that it's 8 years later and the lawsuit is still going on. So what is actually at the heart of this lawsuit? Well, XPRT Ventures, which as far as I can tell is a company that has patents but doesn't actually do anything else, sued eBay for $3.8 billion in 2010 and alleged that the company was infringing upon several patents and had stolen trade secrets. According to the complaint, the patent holders met with eBay in 2001 and showed a law firm claiming to represent eBay the patent applications for some of the patents they had been filing for online payments. Then the complaint alleges that eBay used that information later when eBay incorporated some PayPal functionality into its own e-commerce payment platform several years later. Now the plot thickens. The actual patents were rejected multiple times during this application process. The final patent was accepted in 2009. The website TechDirt pointed out that the finalized patent, the one that actually would be protected from infringement, was different from the original filing, the one that eBay supposedly took a look at and then later infringed. So in other words, the wording that was present in 2001, that had changed by the time the patent was finally accepted, because it had been revised multiple times until accepted in 2009. Other outlets outright called XPRT a patent troll. A patent troll is a person or a company that files or buys patents with no intent to produce anything from them, but rather use them to threaten litigation against others in order to win court cases or, more likely, get a settlement out of court. You could also license patents to companies, and in fact, there are a lot of companies that do license patents out to other people or other organizations, but there's a disturbing trend among certain groups to kind of hoard these patents and just wait for someone to do something that appears to violate them or to infringe upon them. And then they threaten legal action. And some companies, rather than going through the process of having to defend themselves in court, which is incredibly expensive and time consuming, will just end up coming to an agreement for an out-of-court settlement. And that's how these companies make their money. They don't make it by producing something or building anything or licensing ideas out to other people, or rather patents. Patents aren't really for ideas. It's the implementation of an idea. Instead, they wait for someone to do something that looks like it's an infringement, and then they go after them, and with the hope of an out-of-court settlement or maybe a court award if the whole case goes to decision. The most recent information I could find about this involved eBay arguing that the patents in question contain unpatentable material, such as abstract ideas. You cannot patent an abstract idea. That information all came to light back in the spring of 2018. At least that was where the documents I found were, that's when they were filed, was in 2018. So this is still unfolding as I record this. And I have to admit, I haven't read all the legal proceedings. It would take me days to go through it all, or even the full 200-page complaint, because it was enormous. It could well be that XPRT has a valid argument here, so I don't want to give you guys the feeling that the whole thing is without merit. That might not be the case. There may be a real legit case behind XPRT's allegations. I am amazed that this battle has stretched into 2018, though, because typically you would see either a settlement. In this case, you would argue that, well, it's because eBay is fully confident that they did not do anything wrong and therefore they are defending themselves. Or you would see the accusers drop the case because it would just get so expensive to continue. But neither of those things have happened yet. Another legal issue that began to broil back in 2010 would eventually scoop up eBay. It was a 2010 antitrust action from the United States Department of Justice, and later it would inspire a 2013 class action lawsuit brought against several companies in the tech space, including eBay, Lucasfilm, Apple, and Google, among others. I think Intel was in there too. But the charge was that these companies were colluding with one another in an agreement to not conduct cold call recruitment efforts with each other's talent. So in other words, these companies were not supposed to try and hire talent away from each other, which on the corporate level seems like it's all fair, right? You would say, oh, well, of course, it's not really fair for Intel to go after Google or Google to go after Apple and so on and so forth. But then if you look at it from the perspective of the employees, you would argue, wait a minute, this is denying people the opportunity to potentially improve their careers, to go and get a more competitive salary or a more fulfilling job somewhere. And that was, in fact, the basis of the argument, both from the Department of Justice and the class action lawsuit. The Department of Justice suit was settled pretty much the day it was filed. The class action lawsuit also went into settlement, with various companies paying out to the 64,000 or so employees who were represented in the suit. But it all depended upon individual companies and then percentages of that 64,000, because not all of them worked for the same company, obviously. Also in 2010, eBay's app would launch on the iPad. That was a brand new product in 2010, and the company acquired Mylo.com, and that was a local shopping service. The service would let shoppers research products and compare prices to buy locally with real-time availability information. So it kind of go through the inventory of various local stores, and you could do price comparison right there before heading out of your house to go and actually buy something. eBay bought Mylo.com for a reported $75 million, and that was just one of many acquisitions eBay made during this period. And to go through every single one of them would be pretty bonkers. Also, a lot of them were, you know, like commerce sites or data analyst sites, things that most of us don't have any connection to, and it wouldn't really be meaningful to go into it anyway. But I will hit some of the ones that are super important, because I think we need to at least acknowledge a few of them, but I'm just not going to do another episode on eBay right away. So we're not going to go through every single one. So let's keep on trucking. We're up to 2011 now, and I'm going to go fairly fast from this point and just hit the big story points. In 2011, eBay continued its acquisitions, including the purchase of a majority stake in the online marketplace GiddyGiddyOr, which is based in Turkey, and I only included it because that name is awesome. Then in 2012, eBay launched PayPal Here, a system that would allow small businesses to accept PayPal as a payment option. Some analysts began to worry that eBay might be pushing PayPal to move beyond its scope of services to the detriment of its core business. David Marcus would become the president of PayPal in 2012. And then in 2013, eBay would acquire Braintree, a company called Braintree, for $800 million. Braintree is a payment processing service that automates online payments, including stuff like recurring billing. I include it here because Braintree also was the parent company of Venmo. Venmo is a payment transfer service that lets you send money directly to another Venmo user. And it's an easy way to transfer money between average everyday people. Right? It was created by some developers who saw the opportunity for a way that the average person could send somebody else some money. Let's say that you go out for an evening with a friend of yours and you realize, oh no, I left my wallet at home. And your friend says, well, tell you what, I'll spot you tonight and you'll just owe me. Venmo was a way that you could very quickly send money from an account to your friend's account so that you could pay them back and not have that just sit over your head like an evil axe over your friendship, threatening to fall at any moment. So now PayPal would actually own Venmo, which actually makes me chuckle a bit, because I know some young folks who would turn their nose up at PayPal. They said, oh, that's, I would never use PayPal. I use Venmo. And they clearly did not realize that Venmo was owned by PayPal. I just find that amusing. But then I'm old and grouchy, so you know, take that with a grain of salt. Also in 2013, eBay launched a new venture called Digital Storefronts. The storefronts were really interactive screens that showed various products, and customers could order them by going up to the screen and touching using gesture controls. That would send information to the customer's mobile device, and then they could use PayPal on the mobile device to actually pay for the thing and arrange for a delivery to their homes later on. A post on the Forrester.com blog in 2015 stated that this experiment really failed to deliver additional value to the shopping experience, that it was trying too hard to change things. But they said that there was an update to this strategy that was much more effective. It was an integration in a Rebecca Minkoff store in Soho, in which the digital windows inside the store provided contextual information about the products that were there in the store, as well as helped customers make purchasing decisions and link them to customer loyalty programs. And they were interactive in a way where you were around the actual physical objects. And the author of the piece, whose name I don't know because I couldn't find it on the blog post, stated that rather than trying to overhaul the entire shopping experience, This tactic was aimed more at enhancing the experience, and that was more effective. Well, we're in the home stretch. We've got just a little bit more to say about eBay, but before I get into that, let's take another quick break to thank our sponsor.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
According to its official company timeline, in 2014, eBay announced that it would spin off PayPal into a separate company. Now, this was something that Donahoe had initially resisted, as did the board of directors, but intense pressures in the market pretty much forced eBay's hand. So what was going on? Well, first, there was a guy named Carl Icahn. Carl Icahn is a billionaire businessman and an investor who has a large stake in lots of different companies, including eBay. He had more than 46 million shares in eBay. Icahn pointed out that PayPal was the fastest growing division in all of the company of eBay. And he said it would be growing even faster if it weren't under the umbrella of another company. It deserved to be out on its own in the market where it could really grow. The board of directors of eBay initially rejected this proposal in January 2014, which kind of motivated Icahn to start gathering support among shareholders to demand the action, to create what is called a proxy battle. And that could have really set up an internal showdown in the company. It was getting pretty ugly. Well, September 2014 is when eBay changed its tune and said that the two companies would in fact part ways by mid-2015. Now, why did the company change its mind? Well, one was it wanted to avoid this proxy battle, and it was coming up on a big annual meeting where such a battle could have been launched. But also, the landscape had changed rapidly throughout the year with different competing services that were all about payment processing, supported by companies like Apple and Alibaba, were popping up and cutting into PayPal's space. It would be a lot easier for PayPal to flourish if it could be its own company and compete directly against these services. And eBay could benefit from using multiple services, not just PayPal. And so the companies kind of hugged it out, and they went their separate ways. Icahn, by the way, went with PayPal. He swapped out his shares of eBay for an equal number of shares in PayPal. So that's kind of what he wanted all along. Dan Schulman would be named the president and CEO of PayPal, the brand new company. In 2015, Donahoe stepped down and Devin Wenig would take on the role of CEO for eBay. Some people said, well, why would Donahoe step down? He had led the company so effectively. And you could argue that one reason is that up till 2015, he was overseeing the enormous company that included eBay and PayPal. At 2015, PayPal split off, so he would actually be heading up a smaller company. It would actually be a step down for him from where he had been. And so maybe he had done everything he needed to accomplish, and that's why he decided to step down as CEO. Devin Wenig would take over the role. He earned a BA from Union College and a law degree from Columbia University. He had acted as CEO of a company called Nastech Pharmaceutical. It was a company that his father had founded and led until his early passing. And Wenig was still in his 20s when he took over that company. He would go on to become an executive for Reuters before joining eBay as the president of the global eBay marketplaces back in 2011. And today he also serves on the board of directors for General Motors. He got elected to that in 2018. In September 2015, eBay celebrated its 20 years of being a thing, its 20th anniversary. And in 2016, eBay acquired a company called The Expert Maker, which was a virtual reality technology company. So I guess we can look forward to shopping in virtual stores and malls using eBay as the foundation for various businesses. I'm not certain I need that experience, as the online approach has worked fine for me, but who knows? Maybe it'll become the next way of shopping for stuff. eBay has also acquired an image recognition company called Corragon, and it also bought an online ticket commerce site in Spain called Ticketbiz. And there's been a recent kerfuffle on eBay features meant to create incentives for people to buy stuff. Namely, there's this easy low price feature. The idea is that this feature will automatically lower the price of an item if no one has bid on something. Like if you list an item for sale or for bidding, and after a certain amount of time, nothing has happened, it automatically lowers the price for you. And some community members felt that this is unfair. It will actually hurt them in the long run. It'll make them sell for stuff than less than what they were comfortable doing. And that it really only benefits eBay, because eBay makes most of its money, or a great deal of its money, through successful sales. So even if it's small successful sales, if there's a lot of them, that amounts up to a huge amount. I mean, that's what Pierre Omidyar saw within the first year of launching eBay, once he started putting in these fees. A report in the UK found that 1 in 3 UK consumers had mistakenly purchased a counterfeit electrical product online. So something that was being marketed as a recognizable brand, but it turned out that it was a counterfeit. And they purchased these on sites like eBay and also on Amazon. So eBay was not alone in this. And there is a growing amount of pressure from various consumer groups and companies to convince Amazon and eBay and other sites like it to really crack down on counterfeiters. And that pretty much brings us up to date with what eBay's been up to. There's, of course, lots of other little things like features that have been rolled out, but that gets so granular that I think it's not very interesting. Pierre Omidyar, the founder of eBay, is still on the board of directors. He did recently sell off some of his shares in eBay. He spends a great deal of his time doing philanthropic work these days. And before I go, I thought I would list off some of the most expensive and some of the strangest things to sell on the auction site. And I grabbed these items from various sources, but a lot of them come from eBay itself. eBay has a timeline where they kept a record of some of the more expensive things that have been purchased on the site. And some other places had different things listed that were not on eBay's official list, which makes me wonder how official and real they are. But we're gonna take it all with a grain of salt. So here's a list of some of the more expensive things that have been sold or auctioned off on eBay. There was a baseball card featuring Honus Hans Wagner, who played primarily for the Pittsburgh Pirates. His career stretched from 1897 to 1917, so this is very early in professional baseball. The card sold for $1.27 million. Yikes. Yikes. In 2001, Rob Mitchell coughed up $577,000 for Black Betsy. That was a baseball bat. That was a baseball bat that belonged to Shoeless Joe Jackson. Shoeless Joe Jackson, in case you aren't familiar with that name, was one of the players permanently banned from playing professional baseball after the scandal during the 1919 World Series, in which several Chicago White Sox players, including Shoeless Joe Jackson, conspired with gamblers to throw the series that they were having against the Cincinnati Reds. So in other words, to lose on purpose. A Gulfstream II jet sold for $4.9 million to a charter flight company in Africa, so it wasn't sold to an individual, but rather a company. In 2002, one eBay listing was for a house that was built inside an old missile silo that was constructed during the Cold War. The house sold for $2.1 million. There was an Enzo Ferrari, of which only 399 were ever made. It went up for auction in 2004 and sold for more than $1 million. The original Hollywood sign, if you're familiar with that, that's on the Hollywood Hills, the original sign was replaced back in 1978, and the original letters, which are 50 feet tall, went up for sale in 2005 and sold for $450,000. There was the Giga Yacht that I mentioned earlier in a previous episode. It's still a top item. In fact, depending upon the source you're looking at, it is the most expensive thing that has ever been sold on eBay. It was a 50% down payment on eBay, and that ended up being $85 million. And as far as I can tell, it's for a boat that has yet to have been built. It still doesn't really exist other than in concept form. That sale happened back in 2006. Also in 2006, a chunk of meteorite from Mars sold for $450,000. It had crashed in Nigeria back in 1962. There was a bottle of Samuel Alsop's Arctic Ale that was brewed especially for the 19th century explorer Sir Edward Belcher for his visit to the Arctic because he wanted a beer that wouldn't freeze in Arctic temperatures. It sold for $503,000. A bottle of beer for $503,000. Thank goodness it wasn't a six-pack, right? At Kate Middleton's wedding to Prince William of England, Princess Beatrice wore a hat that I can only describe as totally hideous. What do I know? I'm not a royalty. I got no noble blood in me. But anyway, this monstrosity, and you really need to look at a picture of this. In fact, I'm going to have to show Tari a picture of Princess Beatrice's hat when this episode is over. It sold for 81,000 English pounds back in 2011. Oh. During a charity auction, eBay offered up the chance to have lunch with Warren Buffett, and this has become an annual event since then. And the initial lunch sold for $3.4 million, and no telling if that actually included dessert or not. In 2012, an Italian village called Pratericcia, which was nearly vacant, it was almost abandoned, had been auctioned off for $3.1 million. It is not the only town that has gone up for auction on eBay. Others include Albert, Texas, and Bridgeville, California. Also in 2012, a letter written by Albert Einstein sold for $3 million on eBay. The winning bidder was a philosopher named Eric Gutkind, or Gutkind, more likely, because of the spelling of that name. A lot that contained 675 vintage lunch boxes dating as far back as the 1950s sold for $1.7 million in September 2013. So someone really likes their lunch boxes. The car featured at the end of the 1978 film Grease sold for $180,000 in February 2014. And a copy of Action Comics number 1, which was the first appearance of Superman, it originally sold for 10 cents when it came out in 1938. This new, or not new, but this well-preserved copy of Action Comics number 1 sold for $3.2 million in an auction in August 2014. Here's some other stuff I found while looking for weird things that have been up for auction. Now, these are from other sites, not just eBay's official timeline. So again, I wasn't able to confirm all of these actually happened, but they're reported widely, so take it with a grain of salt. Justin Timberlake's half-eaten French toast. Some fan was able to get hold of the leftovers that Justin Timberlake left behind after eating French toast, and it sold for more than a grand in 2000. Ew. A cornflake that vaguely resembled the shape of Illinois went up for auction once. Various haunted dolls have been sold on eBay. All fans of the podcast of My Brother and Me can attest to this, as they do a haunted doll segment occasionally on their show. A Dorito chip said to be in the shape of the Pope's hat went on sale on an eBay auction. And I mean, come on, they all kind of are the shape of a Pope's hat. There was a cemetery plot that went up for auction on eBay, a special cemetery plot in California located near Marilyn Monroe's grave. It was actually occupied. It was not an empty plot when it went up for sale. It was occupied by Richard Poncher, whose widow decided to put the plot up for sale. It's an above-ground plot, so they didn't have to dig anybody up. But they decided, the widow decided she was going to sell the plot to someone on an auction and move her husband's remains to somewhere else. It sold for $4.6 million, according to Time. And she had decided to do this in order to pay the mortgage on her Beverly Hills home and then move somewhere else. Also, once upon a time, a user put up for sale or for auction The Meaning of Life. Not the Monty Python movie, but this person said that he had supposedly discovered what the true meaning of life was, and he was ready to auction it off to the highest bidder. The highest bidder paid the princely sum of $3.26. And I suppose they've kept the secret because it was hard-earned. For less than $5, they got The Meaning of Life, apparently. And that wraps up this discussion about eBay. It was a lot of fun to look into this company, and I learned a lot going through it, especially about the very bold moves that various eBay executives have made throughout its history, both to great effect and sometimes to great detriment. Really kind of a fascinating story overall. And Pierre Omidyar, who launched the whole thing, seems like he's a pretty cool guy. Definitely someone who really believes in giving back to communities. He has done an awful lot of conservation work in Hawaii as well, and I find that really admirable. So, fascinating story. I can't wait to look at the next company history. I haven't quite decided which company I'm going to focus on next. I want to do a couple of episodes that are not company focused before I do another story of series, because it gets pretty long having to do 3 or 4 episodes about the same subject. So I'm going to mix it up a little bit over the next couple. I hope you guys enjoy it. And I hope you guys are ready to let me know what you want to hear. Send me a message. Tell me about any tech companies or products or trends, or maybe there's a person in tech you would like me to focus on. Send me a message. The email address is techstuff@howstuffworks.com, or drop me a line on Facebook or Twitter. The handle of both of those is techstuffhsw. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, and I'll talk to you again really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home, where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.